3, triple option with RBKD. Going back to more zone read, speed option here as BK has left the building to go call Austin High, San Marcos. You can hear that right here on the horn. It'll be coming up at 7 o'clock. Coming up at 6:30, you've got Flex ATX. It's going to be Snoop Daniel and crew getting you ready for all the action with high school football. You can get the Horn app if you want to listen to it. I think we've got 12 different teams now. I mean, I lost count. But if you want to listen to a high school football game,
you know the spot.
Yeah, you know the spot.
You get a hanker and you know where to go.
We have you covered. He was an All-American. Actually, he wasn't. This is funny. I don't think he was all Houston in high school, but he was an All-American in college.
I'm not sure.
How does that work?
I don't know.
It just shows you how loaded Houston is. I do know you're an All-American. That's Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn. So we'll take you for about an hour and a half. Still lots of Texas, Oklahoma State talk. We'll give our picks, kind of what we're seeing in the football world, college and pro, coming up at 6 o'clock. Thanks to Sam Pica, who is in the house and going to be hanging out with us and making sure that we are good to go and on the air. Let's get back to Texas and Oklahoma State a little bit, because Rod, there's a couple different ways we can go here. I want to give you some numbers about their defense, because people have been asking just how legit is their defense? How good are these guys? Well, one secondary number, we can maybe start there. Rodarius Williams, who looks the part. He's a real deal. And you would know, just said you're an All-American cornerback.
Brother of Greedy Williams.
Which I didn't know. I saw that he was from Louisiana, and I never put that together. I didn't know that until
he's a little brother.
Brought it up.
Oh, obviously a little brother.
Well, yeah.
If he's not, that's
I would think. Hey, BYU, you get some situations like that. But Rodarius, if you go to Pro Football Focus, he's given up only 35 yards in pass coverage through four games.
He's not getting tested at this point either.
He's really not.
Staying away from him, but for good reason, because he's a really, really good press man corner.
Colby Harvell-Peel has two picks, two pass breakups. Trey Sterling is the team's leading tackler. Both those guys are safeties. Jim Knowles, usually if he's got some materials to work with in the secondary, they can do some damage. Before I get your take on really how Texas attacks this defense, a couple other stats. These are all FBS ranks. Third down conversion percentage defense, they're third in the country. Team sacks, sixth in the country. Team tackles for loss, seven in the country. Scoring defense, 8th in the country. Red zone defense, 12th in the country. You can talk about their schedule and saying Iowa State's the best team, and even them with their offense, that we're not sure how good they are. So far, they've passed every test. We know this Texas offense has stalled, and we've all criticized kind of how they've gone about it. If you were Yurcich and Tom Herman, what is your game plan to take on the defense that I just gave you there?
Yeah, it's going to be a tall task. It's going to be a tough task for them. That defense is really good. I did point out that in the first four games, they've only allowed 48 points. That is the fewest in any four-game stretch in the 15-year tenure for Mike Gundy. It is his best defense he's ever had.
Yes.
It is that good. And the offense isn't totally clicking yet, so that's also a dangerous component there. But that defense is it's multi-layered, and it's got game-changing players at every level. So if I'm Mike Yurcich, I'm thinking about matchups and where do I have a matchup advantage. Number one, I'd stay away from Rodarius Williams, and I'll get into some of these stats and stuff about some of this stuff in Marat's rant of the day, but I would put my best wide – and I've been saying this for a while now. Your wide receivers cannot get off press man coverage. They just can't do it, right? They can't get off the jam. So, and they didn't get off the jam versus TCU, and they're not getting off the jam versus these corners, which are better at press man than even TCU's corners. TCU's corners are really good because that's Gary Patterson. So I'm not going to go into the game beating my head against that brick wall. I'm going to put all my wide receivers in a slot. I'm going to put – Cade Brewer and running backs out there for those corners as sacrificial lambs and decoys, and I'm going to put all of my high-octane, high-powered weapons in the slot, and that's how I want to try to hurt them. And so I think that's got to be a big part of the game plan, because you put Josh Moore, who may be your best weapon out there, with Rodarius Williams or those corners, they could get potentially canceled out because they will play press man more than 50% of the time.
And they've got the sideline to do it, too.
And they got this, well, that's the whole point about press man, right? You do have another defender if you're doing it right, and they do it right. Our guys play press quarters, and they don't do it right. But you can actually eliminate a guy on the outside if you really have good technique, and TCU did that. And honestly, the truth is, you don't need good technique without wide receivers, because Oklahoma's corners didn't have good technique, played bump and run over 40% of the time, or at least press coverage, and our wide receivers were essentially neutralized in that way. TCU did the same thing. I don't know why Dave Aranda and Baylor didn't do it. I have no idea. Dave Aranda is a great defensive mind, but he missed the ball on that one. He messed up on that one. I don't know what he was thinking. You press these wide receivers,
they didn't
make
practice
them
for 10
beat
days.
You.
Could have been something.
I don't give a damn. I could have practiced for 2 days. I still
give it
play
a shot,
press
right?
man against Texas wide receivers. They've only had two receptions for 15 yards against it. Actually, I take that back. Against Baylor, I think they caught like another reception, so make that three receptions for around 23 yards versus press man against Oklahoma, against TCU, and against Baylor. So I think they're going to face the best press coverage team in the Big 12. Don't even let your wide receivers be neutralized like that. Put them inside in the slot. Put them in bunch formations. Move them around. Pre-snap motion. Get them freed up, because these DBs are really physical. They love to get their hands on you and reroute you.
Yeah, right. It's the two safeties I mentioned, but also the other cornerback outside of Rodarius Williams, Jarek Bernard Converse, who's from Shreveport. And look, everything on film we've seen, this is not a good matchup for the Texas receivers. One thing not to overlook too, their linebackers are pretty good. They're
really good.
They will blitz them. Yep. They will play some games in general with their front six for the most part. But Amen
Agbamiga,
and then also Malcolm Rodriguez, even Calvin Bundage, whenever he gets in that rotation a little bit.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, it's a weakness for Texas, and I expect Mike Gundy to try and isolate the Texas linebackers and get them in some bad matchups. It's tough to do with Oklahoma State. They clean up a lot of stuff, and they're very active.
I agree. See if you can isolate them and get them into coverage schematically. But they trust all of their DBs to be in man coverage. Usually they let their linebackers match up against running backs and match up against like personnel. And by the way, as I mentioned, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, in Mike Gundy's words, he stopped recruiting corners, linebackers, and safeties. He just started recruiting basically athletes to play any of those three positions, and he lets their bodies grow into those positions, but he just wants speed, and he wants instincts, and he wants skill. That's what he recruits back there. So Malcolm Rodriguez, Amen Agbamiga, they're skilled linebackers. They're perfectly suited for the Big 12, man. So, yeah, it's hard to get them in terms of matchups, and they use Calvin Bundy and Trace Ford.
Trace Ford's their best defensive lineman.
But they move him around.
They do. No.
They move him around. They're going to move him. You'll see him at DM, but they'll move him around inside. They'll move him around as an outside linebacker, like standing up. They do a lot of different things with Trace Ford. They'll put him and Bundage next to one another. That's when they're going stunting. They're going twisting. And we know, I think I counted 6 out of the 10 sacks that Texas has allowed so far this year. There's been a twist and a stunt involved in those on those defensive fronts when they allowed that sack. So that's 60% of the time Texas gives up a sack. It's to a twist or a stunt. And if I am, you know, Jim Knowles, and you know that's what you like to do anyway, just up it. Just increase it.
Yeah.
Take it to the nth degree against Texas, because the offensive line can't seem to rectify that issue.
Agbamiga and Rodriguez.
Oh, man, they're good players.
51 tackles combined, 6 tackles for loss, 3 sacks.
Best linebacking core in the Big 12.
That I've seen so far, yeah.
It's the best linebacking core in the Big 12 with the best cornerback combo potentially in the Big 12. And some people are saying right now this safety duo is playing better than TCU safety duo, so they might have the best safety combo in the Big 12.
Who nationally people like, thought that was going to be the best safety combo
in the
entire country. I'm glad Rod brought him up, because 94 Trace Ford is someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he is, man.
He's a little light in the ass for a traditional defensive end.
That's why they like him.
They move him around.
They like hybrids. Yep.
Yeah, 6'4", 248. And if you look at what he's done this year, I mean, you can see it on film, like Rod said.
Oh, man.
They're going to try and make it tough to identify where he's at. He's got 3 sacks, 4 pass breakups, a quarterback hurry, a forced fumble. He can all of a sudden, I like when defenses look at offenses, and I think you talked about this in a Rod's rant of the day, being able to flip the script a little bit and say, you know what, screw you. We're going to have you deal with our matchups for once.
Create the matchups.
Yeah, we're going to create that mismatch, and I feel like they do that with him.
They do it. I mean, and you can only do it pretty much with hybrid players on the defense side of the ball to create a matchup where the offense has to not only identify it, but then isolate – the, you know, isolate that defender and then try to figure out a way to solve that problem. And that can totally wreck an offensive scheme, right? You may have to devote extra personnel. You may have to devote another blocker to that guy, whatever it is. Or you can, like I said, move around Joseph Osai, get him matched up on whoever you think their worst pass blocker is.
Yes.
Whoever their worst pass blocker is.
They got three guys to choose from.
Yeah, you get a predictable pass situation, and you need to know, all right, I don't want him going up against Tevin Jenkins, their best offensive lineman. I want him going up against their worst offensive lineman. That's our matchup. Our best guy against their worst guy. We should win. And you just want to try to find those all over the field. Problem is, Oklahoma State's got more of those matchups that make sense, which means you need to open up the scheme. The scheme should be able to help these players and give them an advantage situationally. And that's what you got to figure out as a coach.
Osai is they've done a pretty good job this year of trying to be creative. They got to amp that up though. And I talked about it in one and done. They've got to be able to really juice it up and make that be a huge advantage for them. In terms of the Texas secondary, so we know the Texas defensive line has to dominate. You hope Chris Ash can be creative and really wreck things before they get going. They rolled a lot of coverage last year towards Wallace. If you're Ash and you're chatting with your defensive coaches, what's the best way to deal with the different weapons Oklahoma State has?
It's going
to
be tough, man, because, you know, you got 11 guys, can't take everything away at one time. And that's just why he wants Spencer Sanders to start, because actually, if you look at it, Shane Illingworth, I believe is his name, the quarterback. Passing-wise, Shane Illingworth was actually a better passer stats-wise and more effective and productive and a little bit less risque than Spencer Sanders.
As a true freshman, too. That says a lot about Sanders and how risque he is.
Yeah, exactly, because he is. He's a high-risk, high-reward quarterback, but that high reward is what Gundy's looking at. That's why he wants him in that dual-threat ability. Gives the defense one more threat to have to worry about, and they run kind of this zone option, which is really, really effective with him. They have 12 personnel in the backfield, two cowboy backs sometimes, and they just run kind of the zone read with him and with an RPO attached to it. It's just really tough to stop that because you have so many different layers to worry about. So you got to defend the dual threat ability. So you got to put a spy on Spencer Sanders in certain situations. You need to defend Tylan Wallace, who's the best receiver in the Big 12, leading the Big 12 in receptions per game and receiving yards per game. 60% of his overall receiving production has come on explosive plays, explosive pass receptions, 15 yards or more. So they only go to him when they need him, or when they go to him, he's a chunk yardage gainer, man. It's all chunk yards with him. They don't want to nick, you know, kind of dilly-dally their way down the field, and they don't want to beat you with the death of a thousand cuts. When they go to Tylan Wallace, they're trying to go for the throat.
Yeah. It's almost as impressive. Those two, the duo's resume is more impressive than any returners we've ever had. You're going to hear this a lot on Saturday, so I'll go ahead and get it out of the way right now. But Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard, it's the first time in college football history that you've had a finalist for the Biletnikoff and the Doak return to their team.
Wow, that's
ever.
That is a great stat.
Yeah, that's going to be Jordan Shipley, Colt McCoy, dads rooming together type stuff by the third quarter. You're going to be sick of hearing it, but
it's phenomenal.
But that's a phenomenal stat.
It shows you how dangerous
it?
That offense is. Yeah, then you got to stop Chuba, right? And then we disrespect Jelani Brown, the Cowboy backs, or Stoner, the slot wide receiver. We're disrespecting those guys, assuming that if Texas is one-on-one with those guys, Texas can win those. Which, exactly.
Man, I'm not assuming. Actually, if I've got an assumption, is that we can't.
So you need help. You need to devote resources to stop any of those guys, whether it be Chuba, Spencer Sanders, or Tylan Wallace, because none of our guys can stop them one-on-one. So what down, what distance, what situation are you going to decide, all right, it's 2nd and 12, I'm taking away Tylan Wallace on this one.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to disguise it, too. It's not going to be obvious 10 seconds before the snap when they check over.
Boom. And then what down and distance, you know, whether it's 3rd and 4, and you go, okay, you know what? It's 3rd and 4. I'm still stacking the box against Chuba. I think they're going to run. Like, when do you decide to, you know, use a spy? So that's going to be on Chris Ash. Yeah. You can't take away all those elements at one time. You just can't do it. It's impossible.
I think if Rod's right, it's going to be a guessing game.
It's going to be like paper, rock, scissors.
Right.
It's going to be paper, rock, scissors.
And there can be educated guesses on that.
Yeah, between Ash and what's the offensive coordinator's name? I forget his name there.
Casey Dunn.
Dunn, yeah. I should remember that. Dunn.
Yeah, he's a Dunn. He's a Dunn.
So Casey Dunn and Chris Ash playing Piper Rock Scissors the whole time, trying to figure out Chuba, Wallace or Sanders. Chuba, Wallace, Sanders. Who I stop? Chuba, Wallace, Sanders. And sometimes Chris Ash is going to win, and sometimes,
right,
as you know, you lose.
He's going to pull out the pinky and be like, Stoner.
Yeah.
You weren't looking for that
Stoner.
One. You weren't looking
Got
for
him.
That one.
Got him.
It will be kind of a guessing game for Chris Ash and the Texas coaching staff. Take the guesswork out of getting your automobile and just get to appleleasing.com. All you got to do is get online. You really can do everything on appleleasing.com. You can take that free quote and just make car leasing easy. You're going to have some options. You can customize it if you would like. If you've got an idea in your head, they've got reps online on the lower right-hand side. Just fire away. Fire whatever question you got and see maybe see if they'll say yes, because Scott, the owner, has always laughed. He's like, man, he's like, I probably should tell them to say no more often. But there's a reason they've been doing this for 30-plus years. They try and take care of Central Texans. 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or it is Apple Leasing. .com. You know, you mentioned Jelani Woods, and BK gave his size earlier.
Nightmare.
So the Cowboy back is their versatile, can be H-back, fullback, tight end.
Yep.
And one thing I like about it, so they've got,
I love it.
I do too. They've got two Cowboy back positions listed on the depth chart, and they've got four guys total. So two with each of them. Jelani Woods is their guy. He's their seamer guy. He's a guy who looks like an Alonzo Mays, mm-hmm, or some of their bigger tight ends we've seen over the last 20 years.
Guy that's open even when he's covered.
Even when he's covered. But at 6'7", 275, that's getting close to we can almost run tackle over type stuff and really mash you. It gives Gundy some versatility. The guy I mentioned earlier, too, Logan Carter, 6'3", 245, kid out of Henrietta, Texas. That's more of a glorified big receiver.
Yeah.
Right?
They like both of those guys.
They like both those guys, and they give you different things.
They had three receptions. Make sure I get this right. They had three receptions for 23 yards in the first three games. They had six receptions for 81 yards and one touchdown total. Just that Cowboy back position, those two guys in that game versus Iowa State. So they're starting to really, you know, get those guys involved in the offense, try to give themselves, like I said, more layers for you to have to deal with, more threats for you to have to deal with. And I saw a Trips, like a nub tight end opposite Trips, what they call it's just him as an inline tight end. And remember, and I saw that Oklahoma State versus Iowa State, they unveiled that for the first time this year, I believe, where they have Trips to one side and then a nub tight end alone on the opposite side of the Trips. And remember, Oklahoma did that to exploit Texas' corners with Stogner?
Austin Stogner, they did,
right?
Do that.
He's a big tight end. In the second half, they want to isolate Texas corners because they know you can take advantage of them. They want to get that big body on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they late in that second half, they got a 7-yarder on Deshaun Jameson, a touchdown on Jalen Green. Same formation. Trips with a nub tight end opposite. Boom. We know we got man-to-man coverage on his opposite side. Who the hell is going to double a tight end on the opposite side of a Trips formation? No, my corner's got to handle that. Well, what the hell with that? My corner's got to take it. And once you go man-to-man, assuming your corner's going to take it, you're 6'7" tight end. All he's got to do is go up there, curl, and turn around. Big body. Watch that. I'm going to predict it right now. You're going to see it.
Interesting.
Guarantee you.
This will be a great game. You mentioned Chris Brown earlier, and Pro Football Focus is loving what he's doing. In fact, he's rated as the top Power 5 safety, or it was a strong safety they were going with.
Power 5 safety, period.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even specify. They just said safety, so I'm assuming that's boundary
that's
safety,
everyone.
Field safety, strong, whatever.
Well, the other safety who Texas fans were kind of hoping would be that guy that Pro Football Focus was talking about,
that's a great point,
is Caden Stearns.
Yeah.
This is where Caden Stearns has to be, freshman Caden Stearns.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to tell you this. If I'm Chris Ash, and I've talked about trying to create chaos, I'd break out a 3 safety package in this game. I'd break out a middle safety. If I got this Chris Brown.
Now, you're talking Tampa 2 here. You're just talking personnel more. I mean,
the inverted Tampa 2 is what I was thinking of. I'm saying you can run those concepts, but
you can run.
I mean, it's just a middle safety.
Yeah.
You can run the same concepts, potentially run them as a linebacker or whatever, however you want to use them, depending on the situation and what you're trying to take away, right? Maybe you're bringing them in as a spy. Maybe you're bringing them in to help you roam the middle because the corners need help and you can give them leverage and say, all right, you have a hole player. You got somebody inside. So don't worry about the six route. We got somebody to help you. Whatever it is, right? Different ways you can use him. But my point is you want to confuse Spencer Sanders, right?
Yes.
That's what we got to do. This is the guy that will throw you a couple interceptions. He did it in the Iowa State game. He did it when he played here versus Texas, and he was phenomenal. But he's high risk, high reward. We got to confuse him. You got to confuse the quarterback. So it's time you need to, Chris Ash needs to be the master of the art of confusion with the offensive line and having them confusing their blocking schemes and also confusing Spencer Sanders. And a really good way to do that, well documented, at least in the Big 12 play, it has been in spread offenses or versus spread offenses, that middle field safety because they roam. And it's hard to, you know, identify. It's like, is he playing middle linebacker? They told me to identify the Mike. What is he playing? Will,
he's
what is he?
He's not a Mike, is he?
Is he a strong? So what the hell is that guy?
It's just, you know, a little confusion.
Oh, he's just coming down blitzing. Oh, he's an outside linebacker now. You just need.
What Arizona did to Russ.
Yeah, exactly, right? They had six linebackers and, six DBs and five linebackers out there. I just think in this day and age, you have to try to confuse the quarterbacks, and then they will make a mistake. And Spencer Sanders, we know, will do that. You go out there base thinking, if we just play sound football and be base, we should win. Yeah, okay. All right. Good luck with that.
We
go
got
with God.
Tight fits.
I hope y'all pray before the game. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You need to go out there with a plan, and the plan is to create chaos. Chaos. That offensive line is the most experience they've had, inexperience they've had in a while, and that quarterback does not respond well to chaos.
That's where they got to win.
Got to win there, man.
What are you ranting about?
I'm probably going to just continue to rant what I just did. That's probably going to be what I continue to do.
To be continued.
We're just going to roll right into the Roger Rant of the Day. That's a perfect segue. All right, we'll come back. More Texas, Oklahoma State. And the closer we get into it, the more you start dialing into the game plan, the more hopeful you should become, right? You should start being more optimistic about the game because there are flaws. There are flaws. Oklahoma State's a good team. Damn good team. Might be the best team in the Big 12, but they are not a perfect team. And they're not they're good. I'm not sure if they're great yet either. And I think Texas can put that to the test on Saturday. We'll tell you how Texas will do that. All of that and more on the Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9 and 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Rod's Rant of the Day. We continue to break down Texas, Oklahoma State. Biggest matchup, or at least the matchup I think most people are watching, will be that Texas offense versus Oklahoma State defense, which is probably the best defense that Mike Gundy's ever had. Fewest points allowed in a four-game stretch ever for him, 48 points in the first four games of 2020. So here's what I would do. We've talked about a few of these things. If I am Mike Yurcich, and Mike Yurcich is he's well-versed in Jim Knowles' philosophy about defense. They were once, obviously on the same coaching staff there for, was it 1 year? Just 1 year, right?
1 year, because Knowles is in year three, so 1 year.
So he went to Ohio State after that first year. So at least he knows them well enough. But obviously Yurcich and Gundy know each other really, really well. So if I'm Yurcich, offensively, I know that my wide receivers can't get off press man coverage. I went back and made sure I got the numbers right. So the wide receivers have been targeted 20 times in the last 3 weeks when they are in press, or at least being defended with press man coverage or bump and run technique of some kind, and they have three receptions for 19 yards in the last 3 weeks. Yeah. 20 targets, three receptions, that's 19 yards, six PBUs.
Terrace Marshall gets that in a drive now.
Averaging 1.05 yards per attempt, basically. Six PBUs, 20 interceptions. Six PBUs, two interceptions, seven incompletions, one holding, and one PI call. So it's a 15% completion percentage in the last 3 weeks when you target one of your wide receivers in bump and run coverage. And we know that TCU was really good at it. Oklahoma was okay at it. Baylor didn't do it enough. But Oklahoma State may have the best bump and run corners, and they bump and run more than anybody else in the Big 12. I count around 53% of the time they're going to be with at least one of their corners playing bump and run coverage.
And it's also
more than TCU and Oklahoma, which is at 40%. Sorry, go ahead.
No. It's right on. I'm just trying to add to it that Jim Knowles is known to do that. So it's not even a defensive coordinator
exactly.
Who says, you know what, I'm a football coach, and I don't like to do it, but Texas is so bad at it, we have to do it. He loves to do it.
Yeah. He's called.
That's what he does.
Carl Borees was like that. But when you have dogs that can do it, when, I mean, I'm not calling myself a dog.
You were a dog.
But Jammer, you know, he had Quinn Jammer, myself, Nathan Vasher played corner at one point when I was there. And then, you know, the guys that came after that, Cedric Griffin, Aaron Ross. You had guys you can play man, press man coverage, and you can let them know you're playing press man coverage, and they still couldn't get off it.
Yeah.
Because you just had guys that were that good at it. Oklahoma State has that guys
and we're so
that
loaded.
Good.
Terrell Brown's covering the slot. So.
Oh, man. Just loaded.
Three.
It's unbelievable.
All-American caliber corners.
Yeah. So on the season, guys, just so you have the numbers, Texas when targeting, sorry, Sam Ehlinger when targeting a defender in press coverage or bumping around coverage, 33% completion percentage, 3.45 yards per attempt. 69 yards. She would like that. VK's not even here.
Nice.
Six PBUs. Eight. So it's just it's not good. I'm not gonna keep going through all the numbers, but you get it. You don't expose
point
your
taken.
At this point, your wide receivers have not proven they can get off bump and run cover, so don't even do it. I would put all of my best wide receivers in the slot. So Josh Moore in the slot. I even find a way to put Brennan Eagles in the slot. I'd find a way to put all the guys that you believe. If Jake Smith plays, knock on wood, I'd put him in. Put sacrificial lambs out there for these corners to bump and run. Put Cade Brewer and some running backs out there. That's it. And I'd put everybody else in the slot. Force them to move their corners inside. They really want to go best guy on, you know, their best corners and best cover guys on your best. Obviously, wide receivers are pass receivers.
So I guess the question.
And they're not going to do that because that would totally disrupt the entire integrity of the defense. Or maybe not.
Because
they play a lot of man-to-man. And if they do that, that's even better.
Great.
Now you got them out of position. Now you got their best cover corners with a two-way go. I'll take it. That's better than having them with a sideline to defend you. So my point is, do that. Do that all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. I would also use tempo and motion and bunch formations and starburst formations to get your wide receivers open and to free them up. Use a ton of that because they're not going to – because even they'll bump the slots too. They'll bump your slot guys. Every now and then, their slot corner will come down and just bump and run the slot too. They just want to play physical. They want to reroute wide receivers and reroute pass receivers. Don't give them that opportunity. And in that vein, Jared Wiley's got to play.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot more.
A lot more. Matter of fact, I think he needs to play most of the snaps at tight end. And if you want to play some 12 personnel, then get Cade Brewer in there. He gives you a better chance to win versus physical DBs, which he did versus TCU, right? TCU, he gets a 52-yard reception or something like that?
Somewhere around there,
3rd and 25.
He's been their third and long guy.
He converted an 11-yard reception on a 3rd and 9 against TCU, and they were playing bump and run coverage versus Jared Wiley, but he's so big and athletic, he can get around it. He can get open on it. He can big body it. So he's got to play more because they want to be physical, and he gives you a better chance to win that way. I want to see a ton of slot fades. Make these safeties and these slot corners and these linebackers, make them cover. My man Matt Butler sent me these stats because they come from Pro Football Focus. Great stats. Think about the mismatches at safety if you put your best receivers in the slot. Trey Sterling, the outstanding safety. He's great as a safety, but when he's covering, he's allowed 14 receptions on 18 targets.
He's their leading tackler for a reason.
Put him in coverage.
He tackles.
Put him in space. Malcolm Rodriguez, great linebacker. He's allowed 7 receptions on 7 targets. You need to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
All right? His backup, Devin Harper, allowed 3 receptions on 4 targets. Go after him. Harvell Peel, he's great. Great instincts. He's allowed 6 receptions on 11 targets. Go after these guys in the slot. Go after these guys. I'd leave Rodarius Williams alone. But when you go after the corners, you know how you go after them? Double moves.
Yep.
Double moves. Am I the only one who remembers, right? Against TCU, the only thing that worked for Texas against those physical corners was what? Double moves. Brennan Eagles touchdown. Double move. Remember, 45-yard touchdowns, a double move on the inside. It was a double move, right? It was reading. At first he stopped. It was a stop route. Then he went to the post. Jake Smith, remember that PI call? He got Jake Smith, and he got called back. But that was a double move by Jake Smith on the outside. That Avante Woodard reception that was called back. 26 yards, illegal man downfield. Double move. I'm telling you, the double move was open in that game. And even that Eagles deep ball. That touchdown, the deep ball that they called back, they thought it might have been a touchdown. It was a double move. So I think the way you get open on these corners, they're really aggressive. The way you counter is with a double move. Also, if I'm Mike Yurcich, you got to find a way to run out of 10 personnel. And not the flex 10 where they have Malcolm Epps as the other wide receiver, and he's like a flex tight end. No, I want actual wide receivers on the field. I want four wide receivers, and I want one running back on the field, 10 personnel, one back, zero tight ends. And honestly, if you're going to put a tight end out there, just flex out Jared Wiley, and I would take that too because he has got more he's got the same amount of explosive receptions in Big 12 play as Josh Moore with more yards, 15 yards more. So he's an explosive threat. So I'll take that too. But my point is, you should be able to run out of basically four wide formation with Sam Ellinger as a design run threat. Sam Ellinger averaged over 5 yards per carry on design runs versus Baylor. That's pretty good. He averaged, you know, he's a great scrambler. We all know that. But on design runs, Brock Purdy actually had some chunk yardage runs up against this defense because I think they don't account for the quarterback all the time. Spread them out, 10 personnel. Like Arizona, you know Arizona, people don't realize this. Arizona is second in the NFL in rushing. They're first in total rushing yards in the NFL because the NFL just figured out that if you come in with four wide
and spread people out,
that if they have to defend those numbers on the outside, you can't defend the box and stuff the box and also defend those numbers. And if you got a plus one,
not when Gary Coleman's running through
exactly
around
any really any true running threat like that, right? And a quarterback with a plus one, you can do that with Sam Ellinger. And I'm not saying he's going to beat Kyler Murray. He's not going to do that. But you can run out of 10 personnel. Texas needs to do that versus Oklahoma State. You can shock their system. You spread them out. They're not going to expect you to run out of that. And I think you can run because you can spread those linebackers out. And if they want to still stuff the box, it gives you one-on-one.
Yeah.
With safeties and linebackers and nickels, take it.
Can I ask you, we're close to a break here, but that was I don't know. There was a lot of stuff to take from that. Love Rod's Rant of the Day. It's every day at around 5:30 around there here on the Horn. So if you're going to go with 10 personnel, because you keep on talking
not
about
the whole time.
Oh, I know.
It's a complimentary piece of it.
And yeah. I don't mean that. I'm talking more about when they do, and or it may not even be 10. I mean, it may be 11, whatever.
You can do 11 and spread them out.
Whenever the receivers are, when they don't have that two-way go, and it allows the cornerbacks to really have the sideline next to them. Always love that in basketball. Hey, the sideline's your defender. The sideline can really help you out, and it can limit, if you know your technique, some routes. Like you said, we see this with McVay a lot. Shanahan does it. Why not? So, like, for 10, I'm just throwing out, for 10 personnel, when the 2x2s, you got two receivers on the right side, two receivers on the left side, why not just get their splits? Cut them.
That's what I said, bunch formations. Like bunch I said, starburst formations. That's what they are, starburst and bunch. You asking? I literally been yelling for that for. They did it last year versus Utah, and they called it snug, and they act like it was some advancement of offensive philosophies. Like we used to, because we thought it would give us a chance to get open and have a free release. And I was like, it helps everybody get a free release.
Yes.
The bunch formation's been working since Mike Leach was using it at Texas Tech in the early 2000s. Like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
But if specifically, if it's a problem.
But they still hadn't done it.
They still hadn't done it.
3 weeks gone
by. So, like,
by.
If your guys were getting off and not using it, getting off releases, I'd be like, okay. Well, I mean, if you want to, you know, hell, have them, you know, at times, Art Briles would have a guy, like, almost on the sideline, it felt like. Okay, well, if you can get off coverage, whatever.
Great.
But if you can't, there's your answer. Yep. You've been saying it forever, and it's just
crazy. They won't do
it's frustrating because we see it on Saturday and Sunday.
They're doing some of it, though, and I think in this game you might see it from a usage. But the run game, it has to be – you got to pass to open up the run and use tempo and all those different things and misdirection and pre-snap motion. If they don't use that stuff against all those cheat codes against Oklahoma State, they're going to get mollywopped.
All right, we'll give our picks for that game and some other ones coming up at 6 o'clock. A little look around the Big 12 coming up next, though. Hey, finally a full schedule in the Big 12. We talked about the vacuum. Will that vacuum get even bigger this week?
But you don't have to call me darling. Darling. You never.
Oh, this is a classic right here. Rest in peace. I listened to this song a bunch when I was in New York the first time. I just missed Texas. And there was something about this song that just reminded me of my home state and being at home and being back at UT.
Yeah.
And I listened to this over and over. And Malik and Mike finally said, dude, this is a good song, but
can't do it.
We're like it. 10, 15 times a day. Like, we get it. You miss home.
You'd have been good. Now you got the, you know, the headphones. Where,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah, with noise-proof headphones, you'd be good today.
Just we'd be good.
Sit in your lounge chair and jam your song.
Malik liked to spin records, though, and we actually got him one of these, and he had fun with it.
Really?
Yeah, like DJing a little bit.
Oh, wow. That takes some skill right there.
Well, he had the whole setup, too. He had multiple ones. I mean, he actually did that for a living.
Oh,
so
nice.
He was pretty good at it. Welcome back to the Triple Option here with RBKD. It is Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers. We're taking you all the way up until 6:30. Thanks for Sam Pika for coming in here.
Sam Pika.
As BK is getting ready for high school football tonight right here on the Horn, San Marcos and Austin High. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. If you get the Horn app, you can listen to 11, 12, 13 different high school games. We've done a really nice job here. So props to Snoop, Derek, Craig,
Snoop,
all those people that are putting in a lot of hours. I should also say Sam, because you're part of that too. So we built a nice little high school team here. Let's get back to some college football, specifically the Big 12. So I know the world has ended and Texas has no chance to do anything right, but everything's still kind of in front of them for the most part. They would need a little bit of help. But if you look at the Big 12 standings, Rod,
yeah.
Kansas State's 4-0 in conference, right? And Texas still can play or still will play them.
Yep.
Oklahoma State this weekend. Oklahoma State is in second place at 3-0. Iowa State would be in third place at 3-1. Texas still has them. Now, there are three teams tied at 2-2. That would be Oklahoma, Texas, and West Virginia. So if you're worried about the TCU tiebreaker, TCU's sitting at 1-3 right now. Oklahoma would have that tiebreaker, but Rod, it's still out in front of them for them to be able to at least sell to themselves that look, it hadn't been a great year so far, but we can still get to this Big 12 championship, and that is the goal right now.
Yeah, I mean, the loss to Oklahoma, of course, may come back to haunt you, but if you take out, if you can, you know, win out and beat Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, then you could just throw the Big 12 into chaos.
Yeah.
And then you have a really good chance to, you know, because you will obviously have a lot of the tiebreakers to be the team that's one of the teams standing in the end in the Big 12 title game. That's best case scenario for Texas. It's got to be one step at a time, though. They did beat Baylor. And I think they cleaned up a lot of things versus Baylor. Hell, Football Power Index has them with a 51% chance now to beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So the Football Power Index is usually a pretty accurate, you know, model. And I don't know what they're looking at, but maybe Texas is going to come out with something we haven't seen yet. Maybe they have their A game ready for this matchup versus Oklahoma State. They have their A game. We've seen them beat Georgia with their A game when nobody thought it would happen.
Utah.
We've seen them beat Utah with their A game.
Destroyed them.
With their A game, yeah. They can come out and do that. But usually it takes about 3 to 4 weeks of preparation for us to see that A game, unfortunately. He doesn't have that.
That's a valid point. So Kansas State, if they beat Kansas State, and I get it. There's still a lot of big ifs. We're trying to get into maybe a team right now that's hearing a lot of noise outside and inside, exactly kind of how they could still look at this and say, hey, man, we're not out of anything right now. Kansas State, they'd have to beat Kansas State. They still have to lose. Oklahoma State would still have to lose, assuming you beat them tomorrow, and Oklahoma, as you mentioned. So this weekend, we look at the Big 12. Oklahoma at Tech, that line's gone up to 15.5. If Tech had a quarterback, if they had Bowman or someone that I felt like they could stay in this thing, I would think about picking them because we've seen Oklahoma in Lubbock before, and it can just turn into one of those wild Texas Tech Lubbock type games. But they don't really have that right now. And it's not like I'm sold on the Oklahoma defense, but they're going to have enough to outscore them, and it'll probably be around that line.
Yeah, that thing, Oklahoma's, from what I've seen lately, they're starting to round into form. I just think they had a season with a lot of guys they lost on the defensive side of the ball and a lot of inexperience on offense. So it took them a little bit of time to gel. They're starting to gel a little bit. Texas Tech's defense is just putrid.
It's bad.
Terrible. It's really bad. Oklahoma's offense is Oklahoma's offense. It's not the Oklahoma's offense of old with the proven commodities, but it's still pretty damn good. So I think they'll just outscore them in an old-fashioned shootout, but they'll outscore them.
All right, we'll get back to college football. We're up on the break right now, and we'll finish off with the Big 12, give you a little look at that, but also give you our picks for the NFL for college football, including Texas at Oklahoma State. Curious to see what Rod goes with here. This is The Horn.